This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, Commodores, we're back with another episode of Q&A with the Dean. This is Lauren, and today we'll be asking a few questions to get to know Dean Grisolfi better. So we're going to start this week with two a bit more serious questions, and then we're going to wrap up with a fun one to kind of, you know, decompress a little bit after that.
Sounds great.
So just before we even get into this question, I want to say congrats to the many first years who just made it through their first or some of their first midterms. The stress around Commons was definitely elevated, and everyone still pushed through. So good job, everyone. So Dean Grisolfi, you've mentioned a few times on Commons Cast so far, even just this semester, that you believe tests measure how well a student can take a test better than how well they know the content sometimes. And you study learning. So looking at the future of education, do you see a time when tests could become obsolete? And if so, what do you think is the most effective alternative?
That's a great question. So first of all, let me say, I don't think that tests are not useful. I just think that they don't tell you whether you're good at something or not. They do sometimes tell you how much you know, but sometimes they don't, right? So sometimes they're measuring something totally different. Do I see a future where tests don't exist? I do. So actually, this is about a decade ago when commercial video games really started to become really good. There was a movement funded by the MacArthur Foundation called Digital Media and Learning. And one of the questions was, like, how should school actually look? Like, how should we design for learning? And there were a lot of people who said, you know, let's take an example of a really well-designed video game. It's really hard to win a well-designed video game. And by the time you actually get to, like, the boss level of the video game, if you beat that boss level, no one doubts that you know a lot of things about that game. And every, like, level is kind of like an assessment, right? But in assessment talk, we would call that a performance assessment. So it's like, in order to beat the level to do the next thing, you're doing the thing, right? I'm not asking you to do something kind of weird, but like a test, if you think about it, is a really weird thing to do. So yeah, I think if we could get more clever about our designs, we could come to a world where we could say, yeah, if you can complete this activity, if you can win this level, if you can fix this thing, then why would I give you a test? You've demonstrated to me that you know how to do that. So for sure, I can imagine today that being that world, but it's not the world we live in right now, because it would be really hard to do that at scale. And that's why I think it's more of a future.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering that. And then moving on, the Princeton Review 2024 rankings just came out. And Vanderbilt is still ranked highly, actually number one for quality of life. But it did drop significantly in happiest students this year from second last year to 22nd for the 2024 rankings. What do you make of that?
Wow, I didn't know that. Well, so I have a lot of feelings about the U.S. News and World Report anyway. Partly, I think it's really unclear how they measures like this. Like, what are their data, right? Like, who is filling out this survey? So we could ask questions about this ranking. But I will say that when rankings change, it tells us two things. One is it is possible that we are doing something different that's worse, making us worse. Or it is possible that other people have changed their practice, so they're also doing well. Because remember, it's a ranking. It's not an absolute score. Mm-hmm. So I've never really loved the happiest campus index, to be honest. And it's not that I don't care that people are happy, of course. But that's actually not what I orient my programming towards, personally. I orient it towards belonging. And those aren't quite the same thing. And sometimes when we're trying to figure out our place and we're trying to figure out what we're interested in, there are moments of deep unhappiness. The problem is if it's sustained unhappiness. So I don't love that. I'm sad to hear that that happened, but it also doesn't make me, like, freak out. It does make me wonder about, like, you know, why? Like, what are people's reasons for not being happy? I know that, you know, we have more students seeking out mental health care than ever before, but I also know that's true of all universities. That's not a unique Vanderbilt problem. But I do wonder, is there anything we can do about that, right? Like, is there anything about the experience on a university campus that heightens mental health issues? Obviously, the answer is yes. You just introduced this podcast with a, or this session by saying like it was super anxiety, like everybody was anxious and tense on campus. You know, why, right? Assessments don't have to be so high stakes. And so there are things that we could do, I think, that could help. Which is not to say that universities cause mental health at all, but I do think we create conditions that make them more noticeable for students.
Okay. So I know sometimes people will think about, like, you know, as you said, exams are pretty high stakes. And when you propose the idea of making something a bit lower stakes or changing the formatting, some people, their reaction is to be like, well, we've always done things this way. Why would we make it easier, quote unquote, easier for people? How would you respond to that?
I get this all the time. All the time people say this to me. They accuse me of weakening the disciplinary rigor of a class. And I find that to be a really confusing perspective. Rigor doesn't mean, rigor is not the same as difficult. Something that's rigorous does not have to be stressful. And so it can be hard, right? Something that's rigorous should make you have to think in a new and different way. It should make you, it should require that it takes time. It should make you have to like walk away and come back. Like those are all examples of something that's rigorous. It's really forcing you to think about something that's different from what you've thought of before. It's hard. Why would that make you stressed out though? Right? We can disentangle those things. So it's stressful if you think that you must get it right the first time. It's stressful if you think you can't ask for help. It's stressful if you think your performance tells you something about who you are. And so I think that when people say that to me, I say, I appreciate where you're coming from because you're worried what I want to say is that you shouldn't be challenging students. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you should absolutely challenge students, but you should figure out why the challenge is creating anxiety. And think about, can we eliminate the conditions that are causing the anxiety? Learning does not happen better when you're anxious. Like, I don't know how many times, I would just like my own soapbox that I can carry around, but like, we actually know that that's true. We know that anxiety undermines both our ability to lay down new memories and our ability to recall information that we know. This is like a known fact. And so it's actually in all of our best interests to think about how can we reduce the anxiety, because then I think all faculty want their students to learn. They want them to learn interesting things. They want them to engage with rigorous ideas. Like, we all want that. So I don't think there's any disagreement there. I think the disagreement is about what rigorous learning looks like. And I think some people think that stress is what rigorous learning looks like. And I would just challenge that claim.
Okay, that's really an interesting perspective, and it's reassuring to hear that just because something isn't super stressful doesn't mean that we can't benefit from it immensely. So, yeah, thank you. Just to wrap things up on a slightly lighter note, I'm wondering if you're an ice cream fan, and if so, what's your favorite Jenny's ice cream flavor?
I'm kind of an ice cream fan. Okay. I am a huge soft serve ice cream fan, to the extent that, like, if there is soft serve ice cream, I will eat it every day. If it's like close to me, and I actually worked at a soft serve ice cream store for 5 years, like summer after 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and the summer after my first year in college, I loved working at the soft serve ice cream store. It's in Michigan. They have soft serve ice cream stands. It's like a whole thing. That is my weakness. Jenny's, I love their flavors, but they tend to make me feel like slightly ill because they're so creamy. So yeah. They used to have, but of course I still go there. Like, you know, it's kind of worth it. So they used to have a flavor that was a passion fruit yogurt, which was delicious. And they don't have that very often. So when they have that, then I get that one. I will tell you, my children have much more interesting answers to this question. So Annika always gets the salted caramel, and then there's a coffee and cream one that she really likes. And then Ansel always gets darkest chocolate, which is extremely chocolatey. So those tend to be the Jenny's flavors in our household.
Okay, that's super interesting. And I'm going to side with you on the soft serve thing. Yeah, my mom and I and my brother too, we have what we call the soft serve squad. So during the summer, we'll have some spontaneous outings. But yeah, no, that's good to know. Some good Jennings recommendations. So thank you so much, Dean Grisolfi. And this is Lauren signing off from Q&A with the Dean. Have a good week, everyone.
Hi there, my name is Cynthia, and today I'll be giving you the rundown of events happening at Vandy this upcoming month. Does dancing interest you, but you have no experience or a partner? Join Vandy Ballroom on Wednesday, September 20th at 6 p.m. in Branscombe Studio for a beginner-level ballroom dance class. We will be learning different types of dances like swing, foxtrot, tango, salsa, waltz, and etc. Are you a freshman that is taking the Gen Chem exam? Come by Stevenson on Thursday, September 21st at 8:30 p.m. to get some sweet treats to celebrate finishing your very first exam. The Blur School of Music is having a concert for the Vanderbilt Wind Symphony. If you don't want to miss it, make sure to be at Blur School of Music's Ingram Hall at 8 p.m. on Friday, September 22nd. Are you a baseball fan? Then you're in luck because Nashville's minor league team, the Sounds, is having a game on Saturday, September 23rd at 6:30 p.m. at First Horizon Park. On Monday, September 25th, Hank Ingram, Sutherland, East, and Gillette Houses will be having their respective events to celebrate and encourage bonding amongst their residents, to be sure to attend. Do you want to worship and find a community? Join Every Nation Campus's weekly gathering on Tuesday, September 26th at 7 p.m. in RAN 308. This was all for the third week of September, but be sure to keep an eye out on AnchorLink for any future events. And now, stay tuned for the Human of the Commons interview. Thank you.
Hey, Doors. It's your host this week, Sophie Healy. And for today's podcast, we have Sophie. She's majoring in psychology and plans to become a clinical psychologist. She is from La Jolla, California. How are you doing today, Sophie?
I'm doing fine. Had a little bit of a rough morning, but we made it out, so that's good.
Was this your first time missing a class this year?
Yeah, it was.
How do you feel about it?
Bad, because it was chem, and I have a chem exam next week, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
How is it, like, have you looked into, like, what work you have to do to make up?
No. I know I have Italian homework, but I think chem was just a lecture, so I guess I just have to read the lecture notes.
Okay, that's not bad. Yeah. Sophie's my roommate, so I actually witnessed her not getting up this morning. I mean, she got up.
But I actually fully got ready, and then I decided to get back into bed.
Yeah, which happens, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah, well, like, it's going to happen to me at some point. It almost happened like 2 weeks ago when I like got kind of sick. I was feeling a little under the weather.
Me too.
Yeah. I think I gave it to you. Maybe.
Yeah. We powered through then though, but this morning was just a rough morning.
It was a rough morning. I didn't want to go to class either, but it's fine. It happens. We push through. Unfortunately, none of my classes are like big lectures. So if I were to miss a class, the attendance is very, like, they take attendance every class for all.
Really?
Yeah. And so I have, like, these small classes. My smallest class is, like, 9 people, and my biggest class is 29. Mm-hmm. So I
get, oh, so they'd notice if you were gone.
Yeah, they'd notice. They'd fully notice, but it's okay, because
you're allowed to miss, like, are you allowed to miss some of your classes?
Yeah. Most of my teachers have, like, 2 personal days and then, like, 8 sick days, and then you fail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or like 8 excused, not like sick days. But like,
yeah.
But it's fine. You know, what am I going to be missing? Or what am I going to miss for, I guess?
Yeah, like there's not, that's what I was thinking. Like if I'm really not feeling well, what else am I going to be missing like later in the year other than being sick?
Yeah. So, but it's fine. Like, what are you going to do? But other than like classes and like missing classes, do you enjoy everything here?
Yeah, for the most part. It was definitely a hard adjustment, like, coming here from California, I feel like. Like, you're from California, too, so you know. And then just, like, trying to meet people. But it gets better every day.
Yeah, it does, honestly. But I wish we, like, went off campus more. We kind of stay here for the most part.
Yeah, even when we want to go off campus, we usually end up staying.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of difficult. You don't have a car.
Yeah, and Ubers here are actually cheaper than at home, but they're still, like they add up, I feel like.
If you're going out every night.
Like, two or three times a week, that's, like, probably, like, $60 of Ubers per weekend.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, Hillsborough's right there.
Yeah, it's nice that we can just walk there, and it's so close to, like, Commons.
Right, but it's, like, the downside to being, like, so close to things is it's draining my pockets. Yeah. I'm running out of money.
No, my meal money is, like, at $25 now. It's really bad.
$25?
Yep.
Yikes. It's okay. It's okay because I know, like, multiple people have actually run out of their meal money. I think another thing is, like, when you go to the Munchie Mart, you have to ask to use your meal swipe. Otherwise, they'll just put it on your meal money.
They usually ask me, though, like, do you want to use a meal swipe?
I think it depends on the person.
Do they trick you?
Sometimes I haven't been getting meal swipes, and I don't want to, like, be like...
Dang, they be tricking you at the Munchie Mart.
They be tricking me at the Munchie Mart. Like, they're just trying to... But it's fine. Like, I guess I'll just actually go to Commons.
No. Just kidding. It's getting better.
It is getting... Last night I had a burger from Commons, and it actually wasn't bad. Like, the first time I had a burger, okay. This time, actually good.
I saw they had sweet potato fries, like, yesterday at lunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you try it?
No, I got pizza. The pizza's really greasy, though.
Oh, okay. I had it the other night, and it was, like, good pizza.
Did you have the chicken parm the other night? That's the best food. That's the best meal they have there.
No, I didn't. I didn't know it was there.
I think they have it every Tuesday, maybe?
I kind of just walk in and go to the shortest line.
Oh, well, then you're going to miss out on the good food.
It's fine. I just want to eat.
Making the wrong choices.
I want to eat and then leave.
That's true. But it's kind of an experience going there.
It is an experience. Like, I don't know. It's kind of overwhelming going to dining halls alone, I'd say.
I do that.
I do it too. But, like...
It's hard. It's just... It's tough when you have to, like, go find a seat.
Yeah. Because I feel like... I mean, no one really cares. Everyone's been there. But, like, just, like, walking around looking for a seat is, like, kind of awkward.
Yeah, when you're by yourself. I usually just go upstairs, though, when I'm by myself. Okay. There's always a table up there.
Yeah. Well, when I've gone by myself, I just, like, go upstairs, put in my AirPods, and pretend I'm, like, doing work.
Yep, me too.
Well, sometimes I am doing work.
No, I think everyone does that. There's no way everyone has someone with them every single time they go to the dining hall.
That's important. That's, like, that's facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, like, good to know. Well, it's, like, you see people walking around, especially, like, freshman year, first semester. You see people walking around, and they always have someone by them.
I know.
It's okay to not have someone by you.
I know. Part of being college is being at college is being by yourself sometimes. Yeah.
Learning to be independent.
Yeah.
Me and Spundin talked about this last week on our podcast.
Oh, really?
It's a big, becoming independent from, like, your family and everything, like, doing your own laundry.
Yeah.
Being responsible for waking up in the morning. Like, it's a big shift. Like, even if you were pretty independent growing up, it's still a big difference because now you're on your own.
Well, yeah, there's going to probably be a point in your life where you have to live by yourself, like, so actually scary. By yourself. And if you can't practice doing that here, then... going to be really hard when you, like, graduate and have to go live by yourself.
It'll be lonely. But I definitely see more people, once they learn, like, they have to prioritize their own schedule, you see more people walking around alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm walking all the way to main campus alone sometimes.
It's okay. I do that every, not in the mornings, but I walk back from main campus by myself every time. But it's kind of nice. I kind of enjoy walking by myself.
I like putting my AirPods in. And just,
like, it helps me think and just, like, process what's going on.
Yeah, I like people watching, too, and I feel like...
Oh, I love people watching.
If you're just talking to someone the entire walk, you can't...
I can't focus, like, on, like, my people. I can't focus on what they're saying because I'm people watching.
Yeah, but it all works out in the end.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Well, like, it will. It will.
We'll
manifest that it will.
We've only been here for, like, not even... Well, you've been here for a month but, like, everyone else hasn't even been here for a month.
It feels like we've been here
forever. And, like, I feel like every week, like, things change.
Every week, things change.
Like, friend groups change. Like, people change. Like...
Every week.
Everything changes.
Yeah. But it's...
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And that's a good note to end off on. But thank you so much for listening. I want to say bye.
Bye.
And we'll hope to see you next time.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.